Father, we just ask that you bless this service tonight and that you give our hearts and our minds so that the message that you want us to hear and you want us to hear in our hearts is clear, Lord.
Amen. Amen. In order to understand prophecy, this is very important. I must understand how God deals with his people. And when I say his people, I'm talking about you and I. Because we know that he has limited dealings with the unsaved. Correct? What are the limits to his dealings with the unsaved? First of all, he what? He loves them.
Yes.
Right?
Last week or?
First of all, he loves them. Secondly, he deals with them for one purpose and one purpose only.
Salvation.
Yes, that's it. So actually, when God deals with the unsaved, he deals with them in two ways only. He loves them, and he wants them to be saved. That's it. That is all there is. Okay. All right. So, if I don't understand that, then it's going to distort all of Scripture. And it's going to distort especially prophetic scripture. So, as important as that is, it's equally important to understand how he deals with you and I. Okay? And we have to start, and I'm not going to read all the verses, we're just going to touch these bullet lines on page 4 of the notes we gave you last week. God's dealings, dealing with peoples. Adam and Eve were created for what?
Fellowship.
That's it. Communion. I like to call it communion. That's what they were created for. God did not need them. God was okay without them. But he wanted them. So he created them for fellowship. And then he chose a certain group of people and made a covenant with them. Okay? They're not better than anybody else, the Jews. They're not superior to anybody else. No. They just have a covenant with God Almighty, which no other group of people, ethnic group of people, has with God. Christians have a covenant with God through the blood of Jesus, correct? That's it. Outside of the blood, there is no covenant. The Jews have a covenant with God regardless of the blood of Jesus. Okay? That covenant has nothing to do with the way they act. That covenant is based on God's character. So that cannot be violated. That's inviolate in every way, shape, or form. And that's why you see, since 1948, God protecting the Jews, even though Israel did not accept Jesus as Messiah. He still has protected them since 1948, and he continues to protect them. Now, I don't know if you had a chance to see Netanyahu's speech before the Congress. It was fantastic. Fantastic. He understands everything about God's dealing with Israel except the Messiah. He doesn't understand the Messiah. Because you would have to accept that Jesus is Messiah in order to understand, right? Because you can't understand spiritual principle without spiritual relationship. You can't.
We can't find where you are.
You can't find where I am? The notes are Signs of the Times.
Page 4.
I want to touch on this. Do you have that? If you don't have it, I'll give it to you.
We're at number 3. The church is not mentioned during the tribulation.
No. No. God's dealings with people. The top of page 4.
Yeah.
No. The name of the of the notes is signs of the times. Signs of the times, which I gave you out last week. I gave you when of the rapture.
Last week you gave us.
Why? A pre-tribulation rapture. Yeah.
The when of the rapture.
The when of the rapture. We're going to deal with the rest of this later. But I wanted to touch base with this because I got an idea that there may be some confusion as to how God deals with human beings. You don't have it?
No, we don't.
You don't have it? Okay. It's probably in the office. Let me go look. Let me go look.
I marked this here.
Yeah, a long time ago. Oh yeah, that's where we were last week. But I want to do with this and then go back to that.
Wait a minute. We're at the very, very beginning of the whole thing?
Yeah, that's the beginning of all our notes, signs of the times.
Yeah. I'm going back just to a certain section is all. Just that section. Okay?
All right.
You get that?
No.
Okay? I'm not going
to
deal with the scripture. I'm just going to deal with the bullets. Okay? Okay? Did you find it?
I did. I think you guys got it when I was
done. You don't have it? Let me go look real quick.
Don't worry about it, honey.
I am worried. Because I don't think Joel has it. It's very important that Joel has it. And he doesn't have it because he wasn't here then. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right. I got a few. You got it? You found it?
No.
There. Oh.
Signs of the times.
Yeah.
Oh, we are going way
back.
All right. We're just going to touch this real quick. And then this one here, I don't think you have either. I don't think you have that one either.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, it's way back. It's way back because there was some confusion. When you start to deal with prophetic scriptures, if you don't understand God's, not just his contact, but God's treatment of the people we're dealing with, then the scripture, the interpretation can be real or skewed. So we have to understand, we mentioned this last week a little, but I wanted to deal with this a little bit more. Okay? So God's dealing with the Jews. Okay? Now, who's he dealing with now? He's dealing with both Jews and Gentiles now. It's important to understand, prior to Acts 1 and Acts 1 and 2, he dealt exclusively with the Jews. The only reason he dealt with the Gentiles is when they overlapped in their relationship with the Jews. Then after Pentecost, he dealt with the Gentiles. Okay? And the Jews could get saved as well. The Jews could get baptized in the Holy Ghost as well, inasmuch as they did what? Accepted Jesus as Messiah. Okay? So, now, presently, he's dealing with both the Jews and the Gentiles. He's dealing with the Gentiles only in as much as they're saved and engrafted into the vine. Who's the vine?
Jesus.
Okay? The representative of the vine on earth is who? Israel. The Jews. Okay? And so we the church, Joel, are engrafted into the vine, the Jews representing the vine, okay? Because that's how Jesus came. He came through the Jews, right? Just put out of your mind the fact whether they accept him or not. They don't cease being covenant people just because they accept or don't accept. They're still covenant people. Okay? They're still under the blessing. Just look at the way he's treating them. And then God is dealing now with all, Jews and Gentiles, but in the end, he's going to deal, the bottom of page 5, exclusively with the Jews. And that's where some people are confused and get really messed up with the rapture of the church. Because they don't understand that during the tribulation period from Revelation 4:1 till the end of Revelation 19, God does not deal with the Gentiles at all. He deals only with the Jews. Okay? Now, I have an argument with a lot of people on earth, but they can't convince me. The Antichrist will be a Jew. Otherwise, the Israel would not sign a covenant with him and worship him. They're going to worship him until he goes into the temple and desecrates it. They're not going to worship somebody that's not a Jew. Okay? I submit to you that he's not just a Jew, he'll be able to trace his lineage to the tribe of Judah just like Jesus could.
Well, he'd have to, because that's biblical and that's what they're
Antichrist. Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah. And people think of Antichrist as being against Christ. No. Antichrist is the substitute Christ. The devil's substitute Christ. Okay? So when you get into the book of Revelation, never in the Word of God is anybody outside of Jesus Christ called the elect. The elect in the Old Testament are Jews. The elect in the New Testament are Jews. There is an occasion where Paul will use the word elect when he deals with Christians, and especially church leadership. But all through the Word of God, the elect are Jews. They're not Gentiles. Okay? Now, thank God, I am a saint. That's different. Okay? That's different. What does elect mean? Yeah, you're the chosen one. Who did God choose?
The Jews.
Okay? All right? Jesus came on page 7 to establish his kingdom. We dealt with this, but I want to go over it because it's so important in what we're going to deal with subsequently. Jesus came to establish his kingdom amongst whom?
The Jews.
Why did he include you and I?
Because they wouldn't believe.
They rejected and would not believe. Correct. All right? Just like Esau lost his birthright. Why? Because he rejected it. And it went to Jacob. Jacob lost the birthright in terms of salvation, so it went to the Gentiles. All right? But he came to establish his kingdom amongst the Jews first. That will overlap into the book of Revelation in the end times when he deals with us, with the elect again, the Jews again. Any questions? Okay? Now, tonight I gave you a printout on the explanation of the rapture. This is kind of a resume, so I'm not going to deal with that just yet. I want to go back to where we left off last week, and that was in the pre-tribulation rapture, right, Debbie?
Mid-tribulation
rapture. Oh, yeah, right over here. Where am I at? What page did we leave off?
Page 4. The other page.
Page one is the timeline of the future, and then it goes to the last days, and then...
Okay, so that's not the right notes. Let me find the right notes. Find the right notes here. I'm sorry. Timeline of the future. So page four, right? No, that's not on page four. I'm just repeating what you said. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay?
I was just saying that, yeah, that's page one. Yeah.
But we dealt with that, correct? Yeah.
Last days, yeah. And believers are protected.
Believers are protected. So the church is not mentioned during the tribulation period. Nobody can find it. Now, the people that believe that the church goes through the tribulation want to say the elect are the church, but that's not correct, because then we would have to find other scripture in the Word of God where the elect were Gentiles, and we can't find that. What's that, Jenny?
Well, she's talking to me.
Okay. All right. So the second view is the mid-tribulation view. That's a lot of people believe that today. And sad to say, it revolves around, and you're going to see in the notes I gave you, it revolves around the wrath of God. They don't understand the wrath of God. Anytime that you separate any concept in the Word of God, dealing with the character of God, dealing with God's dealing with people, or dealing with the end times, and you separate and isolate it from the entirety of everything the Bible says, you get yourself into trouble. It must agree with itself. Okay? So, the mid-trib says that the tribulation period will occur in the middle of the tribulation period. This is a problem. The main problem is that Daniel tells us exactly how many days the tribulation period is. 360 times 7. Right? So 360 times 7.
2580.
Huh?
2580.
2580, and half of that is?
1290.
1290. Huh? 360 times 7?
60 times 7.
2520. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, I can start counting. From the time the Antichrist signs the treaty with the Jews, which is going to be a worldwide event, everybody's going to see it, that gives us the initiation of the tribulation period. I count how many days? 1290. 260. 1,260 days, and that's when Jesus comes back. Now, what's the problem with that?
Nobody knows the time or the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the time, but I can tell you the day. I can certainly tell you the week.
Yep.
Let's say I'm asleep when the Antichrist signs the treaty. Or I wasn't watching the news, because I don't watch the news. How many times you've heard people say that? I don't watch any television. Well, that's fine.
This is going to be a huge event. You will know.
Yeah, but you're going to know either from what people are saying, or you're going to hear it. It's going to come up on a feed on your cell phone or something. Something will happen, you're going to know. So you start counting, and when you start counting, then you can buttonhole it. 1,260 days, Jesus comes back. That's a major problem. A major problem. The second problem with that is, how in the world do I then have to be watching and waiting? There's no need to be watching and waiting, right? Because I'm going to know. Anybody have a doctor's appointment in the future? You do? And you have one? And you know when, right? Yeah. So there's no need for you to be all upset and be worried about when he's coming back. See? It also, thirdly, takes away the incentive to be ready. Because I know I can get ready the day before. Right? See? So, Revelation 11:3. and I will give power to my two witnesses. They will prophesy 1,260 days. Half, the first half of the tribulation period, clothed in sackcloth. Those mid-tribs think that when these guys are taken up out of here, two witnesses understood to be Elijah and Moses, when and that you'll find in Revelation 11, verse 6, they interpret that all the believers are representative of these two men. And they go up then in verses 7 through 10. Satan will kill them, and verses 11 through 13, they'll come back to life and they'll ascend into heaven. Well, I have a problem with that because I don't want to be killed and then resurrected. That's a real bum way to go, right? Besides the fact, there is not one single ounce of evidence in the rest of the Word of God to corroborate that happening. Okay? After the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered into them, so they're going to lay in the street for 3.5 days. They stood on their feet, and great fear fell on them who saw them. So, I count from the time of the signing of the covenant with Israel, 1,260 days. And they're going to be killed. Do you think we'll know that they are killed? Oh, yeah. They're going to do signs and wonders. They're going to do great things. So they're going to be killed. Then I look. Oh, 3.5 days, the Bible says. I wait 3.5 days. And then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud while their enemies watched them. So I'm going to say, well, 1,260 days plus 3.5 days, I get ready. I'm going. God is organized. How many days did it take him to make heaven and earth? And everything we have, including man?
Six
days. He's organized. At that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. 7,000 men were killed in the earthquake, and the remnant were frightened and gave glory to God of heaven. Okay? The ascension of those two witnesses, say the mid-tribbers, symbolizes the church being raptured. Now, the question I would have to ask myself is how two men can symbolize the body of Christ. Because nowhere in the Word of God do two men symbolize the body of Christ. One man symbolizes the body of Christ. The man, Christ Jesus. Right?
Well, they symbolize the law and the prophet.
That's right. But the law and prophets is a far cry from the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Far cry. Because we have been set free from the law. We don't even have to keep the law. I'm so glad. Of course, I could find a goat to sacrifice right next door to my house. I'd get shot, wouldn't I? Bootsy baby. Oh dear.
So I happened to fall across the interview where they were talking about this pre and post and mid.
Mm-hmm.
And the mid-tribulation, and now I can see where Peter was seeing it, and I can also see where other people see it. Is indeed 2 Thessalonians 2 and that whole chapter is saying that Christ isn't coming back until the sort of petulance has been revealed. But it also says that those who do not believe are the ones that need to be weary in those times.
Okay.
And that, I think, is where they don't see, they think that the son of petulance is revealed and he's coming and he's going to be there, but they're thinking that this is the revealing of Christ comes after that. Sure, that's when he sits on the Mount of Olives, or he stands on the Mount of Olives. But the first coming, the rapture...
He doesn't come. No.
He's in the sky.
That's the huge mistake they make.
And I think it was God that put me there so that I would understand where this is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That when you read that, indeed it does say that. However, he's certainly talking to those who aren't saved at that point in time.
Exactly right. Now,
very clear to me.
If you look at the notes I gave you today, that makes that real clear. You see, there's only two comings of Christ. That's it. The rapture is not the second coming. And I made that clear when we started the study, right? The second coming is like the first coming. He's got to come to earth. He doesn't come to earth. In fact, nobody sees him. We don't even see him. We rise to meet him. It's not till we rise that we see him. Nobody on earth is going to know that it even happened, except that millions have disappeared. They're not going to hear the trumpet. They're not going to hear the shout. Only we are going to hear that. So it's going to be a silent event, that the only evidence that it's happened will be the disappearance of millions of people. That's it. But when he comes back and puts his foot on Mount Olive, they will know. Because that's going to be a singular event. And that's the problem with those who believe in a mid-trib, those who believe in a post-trib, and those who believe in a post-millennial rapture of the church. A lot of their problems, I thank God, there are four red-letter events in my life. Four red-letter events. Red-letter event number one, I was saved. Red letter event number two, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Red letter event number three, and this is in their priority, I was born into a family with incredible parents and a godly spiritual heritage. Were they perfect? No. Made a lot of mistakes. But my. When I look back, the older I get, what a privilege it was. And the fourth was when someone said, I will, and they did. So those four red letter events. So we have to understand when God says he's going to do something, he does it the way he's going to say it. And it's not going to be a red letter event when he comes in the clouds, because nobody's going to know he even came except for our disappearance. Important to understand, I opened up to 2 Thessalonians, because we'll deal with that in a bit. Now, you'll see this in the notes I gave you today that will help you. Now, this all comes, the confusion comes from an incorrect view of God's wrath in the tribulation period. And it comes from an incorrect view of God's dealing with God's people when it comes to wrath. Okay? When it's God's people, not by covenant, but by blood. That's you and me. No wrath for you and I. No wrath. When it's dealing with God's covenant by agreement, the Jews, wrath. But not for you and I. There is no place in the Word of God where God punishes the righteous with the unrighteous when the unrighteous are being punished for rejecting Jesus Christ. That is a principle that is a heretic principle that people have developed. Secondly, there is no place in the Word of God where the purification of the church comes by persecution and hardship. It does not come by persecution and hardship. It comes by the washing of the water by the Word. That's how it comes. The Holy Ghost purifies you and I. Persecution directs our attention to God and forces us to call out to God. But it doesn't force us to clean up. It's the Word of God and the Holy Ghost that forces us to clean up. Is that clear? Yes.
I was just kind of looking at the timeline of the future here, the actual photo.
Yes.
So I see rapture in heaven. Is there a context to that? Like, let's say someone died before all this happened.
Yeah. They go in the rapture.
Okay, so within this, are they on this timeline somewhere? Or this?
No, because they're included with the church. You see, he makes a distinction in who comes up first. And someone said, The dead in Christ shall rise first because they have to go further. That's what some people say. Right? So Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. There was a problem in the church at Thessalonica, is that from the preaching of the apostles, they thought they had missed the resurrection. They didn't call it the rapture. They called it the resurrection. They thought they had missed it. And Paul wants to comfort them. That's why he says in the 15th verse, wherefore comfort one another, 18th verse, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Right? So he starts out, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning those who are what?
Sleeping.
Asleep. What does that mean? Dead. So he starts that whole thing in the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians by telling them, I'm going to deal with your difficulty in understanding those that have died. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so will he come back, right? And then he says, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What he was saying is, your parents have died. Mom and Dad have died. Jenny and Ernest, my in-laws, have died. My grandmother has died, Helen. My grandfather, Russell, has died. My wife's grandmother,
Winnie
has died. Don't get upset. Don't get worried. They're going up first because they got further to go.
So this is for the people that are around.
It's everybody. It's everybody.
Yeah.
It's everybody. It's everybody that's been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus since Acts chapter 1. Since the day of Pentecost. Right? A lot of people came out of the grave when Jesus died.
So
did they go back?
No.
No! They went to heaven. That was the first rapture. Oh, the mid-tribs get all upset when I say that. See? So there were many, many that came out of the grave when Jesus died. Many, 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 many. I personally believe it was all those that had died accepting by faith, Hebrews chapter 11, by faith what Jesus said. Right? Because now that is not necessary. Because now we have the blood of Jesus. Right? Does that help?
But if you were alive when the rapture happened,
you're going up with them.
This is your time.
Yeah. Well, no, if you're dead too.
But they're not going to have a tribulation.
No, the dead don't go through the tribulation.
Okay.
So, see that timeline? So I should have put it up. See?
Yeah.
See, the timeline here, the rapture takes place, and that's everybody goes up.
Okay.
Everybody who's been saved, whether alive or dead, since the founding of the church in Acts chapter 2, until now, or until the rapture takes place, they go to heaven together.
Okay.
Together. He said, would God be just? Would God be righteous if there was a different criteria for those that died in Christ than those who are alive in Christ? No, he wouldn't be just. Because the Bible states he's no respecter of persons, correct? So that, what does that mean? Everybody gets treated alike. What did I do wrong?
There's other things that you said that you're helping me figure out.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't believe Adam and Eve had children, and that's why I don't believe they had children in the garden, because he wouldn't do exactly what you just said.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That has nothing to do with the price of eggs in China. So you.
The same guy with the same.
No. What you're saying to me? No. Yeah, but you got to understand. Totally 100% different before the original sin as to after the original sin. And number two, I cannot understand what happened before the original sin. I can only understand what happens after the original sin. Because number one, my brain can't capture it. But one thing I know, if Adam and Eve were perfect and God gives them a command, what was the first command?
Be fruitful.
Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Have babies. And we know how much fun it is to make babies. Would we agree? Right? And they're perfect? And they're not going to do that? Oh, man. No. I can't swallow that pill. It's way too big to swallow. See? Way too big to swallow. I mean, she's drop-dead gorgeous. He's as handsome as there is. Everything's perfect. And they're not doing that which is the most fun that God saves. The only thing He saves out of the Garden of Eden, the only thing He saves is the family and the sexual relationship between a man and a woman. That's the only thing that comes out of the Garden of Eden.
But you're saying that if God treats everybody the same...
He does.
Why would He take those children and cast them out of the Garden of Eden?
Oh, that principle's easy. That's principle is easy, because children, the word of God's very clear all through the Old Testament, children reaped what parents did. Read the story of Achan. One of the saddest stories in the entire word of God.
But they went to heaven.
Yes. See, Achan's wife did not steal, but she died. Achan's children did not steal the gold and the garment, but they died. Think of those that rejected what Moses said, and the earth opened up and swallowed them out. Many innocent because they went with their parents.
All right, let's follow your logic and let's move on to the rapture.
Okay.
We're beautiful now.
What's that?
We're beautiful then. We're going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's going to be man and woman.
Yeah, but no marriage. Because He decreed it.
But it's still...
He did not decree it before. He established it before. Now He takes it away.
It's
why?
So much fun.
No. But why does He take it away? Yeah, but why does He take it away after the rapture?
We have glorified bodies.
No. We do, but that's not the reason. We are the bride of Christ. We don't need each other. Christ will be everything. Remember, the sun shone in the Garden of Eden. There was night and day in the Garden of Eden. In heaven, there's no night, there's no day. Jesus is the sun that shines. Different environment altogether, Jenny.
I'm following you.
100% different. Okay? Perfection, yes. Perfection, yes. But the only way you can equate the Garden of Eden, you can equate it with the millennial reign of Christ. That you can equate. Apples to apples. Because that's going to be identical. Okay? And children will be born during the millennial reign of Christ.
But will they live?
Yes.
For 1,000 years?
Yes! Nobody's dying. Nobody dies. Who's the author of death?
Satan.
Where is he? He's bound with all his power. Death will not exist. That's why the child will play with the snake. See? Your grandbaby can come running in and they've got a cobra wrapped around their neck. Look at my new necklace. And the cobra's not doing a blessed thing. Because he can't. The lamb is going to lay down with the lion. Bootsy is going to play with the one-legged, three-legged bear we have in our backyard. And there's not going to be any problem. Now, the three-legged bear would eat Bootsy. Right, Caroline? If he had a chance. But there it's not going to happen. So it's going to be, it can't equate before the fall with after the fall. It can't equate, the rules are totally different. Rules are totally, my problem, I have no way of proving that Adam and Eve had children in the garden. I can only say that if I'm in the garden with Leah and everything's perfect, and the first command is be fruitful and multiply, she's going to be fruitful and she's going to multiply. See? Because there was only two commands. They never broke the first one. So that tells me that they fulfilled the first one. See? And there's no way that anybody can determine, except we have a major scientific problem. Because scientific evidence says that the earth is a whole lot older than what printed scripture will tell us it is. Right? So, my opinion is that the Garden of Eden could have lasted a million years with no problem at all. See? Because Adam was at the end when he got kicked out as he was before. Now remember, his age, when it gives the age, God never says, this is from the time that I made him. God just says this, and that started, in my opinion, when he got kicked out. That's when time starts in the fallen nature for Adam. That's when his body starts to deteriorate. His body never started to deteriorate before that point in time. Why did they live so long? Duh. They had a superior genetic makeup because it came from perfection in the garden. See? So, that's my own personal opinion. All right. Incorrect view, we got to hurry, of the wrath of God in the tribulation period. Now, there's a serious problem when we talk about the wrath of God affecting the church of Jesus Christ. Because there is no place in the Word of God, again, my doctrine must be backed up with more than one place in the Word of God. If I say God spares the righteous from judgment over the wicked, and I use Noah as my example, I must have another scripture that backs that up. What is it? Sodom and Gomorrah. Where God pulls Lot out before he rains judgment down on the city. He does not judge the righteous with the wicked. Okay? The only time it would appear that those who did not commit any violation of the Word of God are judged with those that do is when it's family oriented. When it has to do with father and mother and children. Mostly father. Because that's what the authority was in the Old Testament. Okay? Why? Jenny, I don't know. We're going to have to discuss that with God. But again, we won't do any discussing because Bible says in an instant of time, we're going to know it all. So all these questions will be answered. When you get there, all these questions will be answered. And you'll say to God, boy, our pastor was right. All right? Now, the problem is, I've got to take what Zechariah says with what Daniel says, with what Joel says, with what Hosea says, with what Jesus says, and with what John says in the book of Revelation. Okay? Zechariah 11 describes the good shepherd. Who's the good shepherd?
Jesus.
In verses 4 through 14 of chapter 11. Then he deals with the false and worthless shepherd in verses 15 through 17. Who's the false and worthless shepherd? The Antichrist in this case. Now, the prophecy says that Israel will be given the false and worthless shepherd because they rejected Christ. Everything revolves around Jesus. Okay? The Antichrist is worthless because he doesn't care about anybody but himself. Okay? So the Antichrist is given to Israel as an act of judgment. And I put the scriptures there. I'm not going to read them all because you can. Then Zechariah 12 describes the tribulation period. God's wrath is poured out at the very beginning. See, those that believe in a mid-trib rapture are going to tell you that the wrath doesn't start till the midway point. Well, that's saying that there's no judgment in the first 3.5 years. Wrong. There is judgment in the first 3.5 years. God's wrath is poured out at the very beginning. He makes a peace treaty with Israel. He seizes control. Will everybody say, oh yes, Antichrist, I love you. Yes, you can have my authority. No. Especially here in the United States. Can you imagine? People telling us what we can do and cannot do. What we have to do to buy and sell. I know the pandemic was a... But the pandemic And people wanting to accept everything that the government said was not wholesale amongst the Christians. That was amongst the unrighteous, was it not? The unrighteous accepted it all. The Christians did not. Okay? Peace and safety. First half of the tribulation. False peace. A false peace. Any peace that comes from the devil is going to be false. The devil cannot imitate the purity of what God does. Okay? Okay? Now, those who believe in a mid-trib rapture will tell you the wrath begins at the midway point of the tribulation period. Now, we know at the midway point, what tells us it's the midway point? Yes, the desecration of the temple, called the abomination that makes desolate. Daniel 9, verse 27, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, if you need proof. Now, that would not be possible if the Antichrist wasn't in control. The Jews are not going to let him in their temple to do his thing. In fact, if he's not a Jew, he can't even go in to the holy place. That's why you had the court of the Gentiles. And that's as far as they could go. They could not go where the laver was. They could not go where the table of showbread was. They could not go where the altar of sacrifice was. Only the Jews could go in there. And there was only one Jew that could go into the holies of holies. And that was the high priest, and then only once a year. Only once a year. So when he goes in, he has to be a Jew, or he could never get in there to be able to do anything on the altar of sacrifice, because he could not go into that part of the temple. Okay? So he's in control. God's wrath is already being poured out. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. The wrath of God is connected with the day of the Lord. And I love 1 Thessalonians 5. That's one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And you'll see in the notes that I gave you today, I really emphasize it with the pronouns. Because the pronouns are important because it deals with who Paul's talking to. Okay? And he's not talking to you and I. It's very, very clear. And I put the pronouns there and made them bold. You'll see that in your notes that I gave you tonight. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says this, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The mid-tribulation proponents do not understand what salvation means. I am not saved from the wrath if I have to endure the wrath. Everybody agree? Right? If I'm saved from drowning, I'm not still in the water, for Pete's sakes. If I'm still in the water, I'm still subject to being drowned, right? When am I saved from drowning? When I'm pulled out of the water, right? Trump wasn't saved from the assassination attempt until the shooter was dead, right? People are piled up on top of him. Yeah, he's got a measure of protection, but he's not saved. Because bullets are still flying. He gets saved afterwards. See? And then verses, where are we at here? Verses 2 and 3. I love this. Let me get my notes from today. Okay. That I gave you today. Because that's better. Because I got it written out. Go to page 2. Yes. Well, bottom of page 1. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning you. See, you is bold. Why? Who's he talking to there?
The church.
The church. The church at Thessalonica. You and I, right? Concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others do who have no hope. You have hope. For if we, who's he talking about there? The church. Believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Christ. Now, you have to go back Remember, he's dealing with Jews here. Right? Because when Paul goes to the to Thessalonica, where does he go first?
The temple.
Yes. He goes to the temple. So first he's evangelizing the Jews. They understood what he was talking about here. Old Testament saints. For this we say to you, again, we're talking about the body of Christ, by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. See, brother, precede those who are asleep. We're going to do it together, glory be to God. Okay? For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. We're going to deal with that later. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them. So it's not going to, we think of this, brother, when we think of these kind of things as one, two, three. That's not how it's going to happen. See? It's all going to be together. I really believe they got to go a little further. The Lord has to grab the dust and put it back together. But he does that in an instant of time. What?
He's got to put it all back together.
And the ashes. Yeah. Put it all back together.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For thus we shall always be with the Lord. We. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Then, if you go over to page 3. But concerning, we're in the new notes that I gave you tonight. Yep. The ones I gave you tonight, Debbie.
That's what I'm looking at.
Page 3. See? The brand new ones. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren. Whose brethren? The church. You. Again, there we are.
Me.
Yeah, he's dealing with us. Have no need that I should write to you. Why? Because you know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For whom? For when they. Now, they and you are two different groups of people. Right? Can be the same group of people. This is the inspired word of God. Peace and safety. Who's saying that? Those that are here during the tribulation period. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And then verse 4 is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that this day should overtake you as a thief. No surprises for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are all sons of light and sons of day. The unsaved aren't sons of light. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. There's no need to watch and be sober if he's coming up 1,260 days later. See? For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, glory, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. He gives us great hope there at the end. All right, questions? We're going to end right there. Good place to stop. Yes?
Earlier on when we were talking about the that when Jesus died, all the, when there was the pushing out of the graves.
Yes.
Okay, you, if I heard right, after that, they went straight up to heaven?
Oh, obviously.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to clarify.
Obviously.
Right.
Where else are they going to go? They're not going to go to hell because we know where the dead that go to hell are resurrected at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. Okay? And then they're cast into the lake of fire. Alright? They're in hell until then. Because hell and death give up the dead at the end. See? Doesn't happen before, it happens at the end. Other questions? Is it making a little more sense, little by little? It will. When you read what I gave you tonight, it will make a lot of sense. Okay? Because we're going to go through that. That's important.
So the people that are dead, they'll come back down into their bodies and rise up?
Their souls. And their spirit, yeah. No, they're joined. I don't know how it's going to work, Joel, to be honest with you.
So there's going to be empty graves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, of course, I don't believe, some believe there'll be utter destruction in the graveyards. Somehow, you know, God's a creative God. In an instant of time, he can put Abraham right here with no disturbance in the cave of Mephibosheth. None. He could do that, right? So we don't know how it's going to work out. Okay? We're not going to be here to find out. But I don't know how it's going to work out.
It's their soul.
Their soul and spirit is with God right now. But it has to be united with their body. It's their body that's going to be resurrected.
Fleshly body.
See? Yeah, their fleshly body. But it's not really going to be resurrected, Joel. They're going to get a brand new one, incorruptible. So that brand new incorruptible is going to be united with the soul and spirit. And when and how, I don't know. Let your imagination run wild, Joel. You'll be just as correct as I am. What do we know? So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We know two facts. The dead in Christ rise first, then we which are alive and remain are caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's all I need to know.
So it doesn't really say it's a bodily resurrection of the dead.
No.
It could be a spiritual.
Except we know that they're going to be recognizable. Because they will be as Jesus was after his resurrection. Because he's the first fruit. Remember, Paul said he's the first fruit. So the only way I know how I'm going to be then is by the way Jesus was then. See? And they could recognize him. They could see the prints of the nails and the spear. They knew, right? So I won't have glasses, but I believe I'll have this scar here. Just a glorified body. Everything will work, right? But we're going to be recognizable. We're going to be able to eat. We're going to be able to drink. We just won't be subject. We won't be subject to any laws of physics. Okay? Other questions? Fun. Isn't it fun? I have fun. I love it. Well, look to the Lord in prayer. Let me stop this.